And good morning. Welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. As we've said before, it's a 15-minute program, or a 25-minute program, so it's not quite an hour, but I guess we just gave it that title buku years ago. Anyways, I hope that the title won't upset you any. I hope you'll enjoy the message this morning. We encourage you to drop us a note. We'll give you an address at the end of our program. We did have someone here just a couple, 3 weeks ago drop us a note. We appreciate that very much. And I know it took her some time to sit down and write it, but I appreciate it very much. Our final sermon in this series on the Good Soldier today. But before we get into that, let's do this here. 9:45 is Sunday school time. 11 o'clock is the morning service. And 6 o'clock is the evening service. We have a Thursday midweek service at 7 o'clock. Teen time Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, youth from the age of 5 to 12, Thursday night during our midweek service. And we hope if you're looking for a church, give us a try. We may not be what you're looking for, but hey, you won't know if you don't try. If you're just up visiting and you need to go somewhere this morning, we'd love to have you. But we believe that you ought to have a local church. If you live in this area, you ought to have a local church. You ought to be in church. You ought to be supporting the pastor. You ought to be supporting the mission program. You ought to be doing whatever you can do to help that progress, okay? We don't want to be your church. I'm not trying to be your pastor. We want to encourage you to get a church and to get a pastor if you don't have one. You say, Pastor, I don't know where there is one. End of the program. Announcer will give you an address. If you'll take just a few seconds of your time and write that down, then write us a note and say, I live in such and such an area. And I'm looking for a good church. I might be able to recommend two or three churches. There are some good churches in this area. Really, there are. And some good pastors, people with a heart. And so maybe you want to look that up, all right? Okay, so finishing the message, A Good Soldier. I hope it's been a challenge to you. We are soldiers. And Marion Avenue Boys are going to sing a song today for us called Soldiers Again. And I think you can understand that title. If you can't, well, one time you're a soldier, now you're a soldier again, okay? And it's one thing to be in the physical army on this earth. It's another thing to be in the spiritual army of the Lord. And he does have an army. Just read your Bible. I could list you some verses this morning, but if you don't want to look them up, you're not going to. But anyways, get your Bible out and read it. See, you're a soldier. Paul said, be a good soldier in 2 Timothy. Be a good soldier. That's what he said. Okay, enough for me. I don't want to preach the message, but I do want to encourage you to do the right thing, all right? Okay, the final sermon in this series of A Good Soldier today. But before we do that, the song Marion Avenue Boys, Soldiers Again. Listen to the song and enjoy the concluding of the sermon.
Backyard soldiers, little boys, we fought the enemy with little toys. Sticks for swords, hands for guns, every battle always won. But as we grew and went our way, we forgot about our soldier days. No more swords, no more guns, no more battles to be won.
Oh, but we were wrong. We could not see that we still have an enemy. So here we stand, friends. We are soldiers once again.
We are soldiers again in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers again, and His word is our sword. We will not be denied.
the army of the Lord. We are soldiers again, and His word is our sword. We will not be denied, with Him on our side.
I wish you could have heard the speech I heard the other night at 9. I wish you could have heard the general talking about the military and what we have and our capabilities and what we're not even doing. But we could. But you see, what's going to put us down is the fact that we're going to depend on that, not on God. And what'll put you down, Christian, Brother Grant, you might remember this, Mrs. Grant, you might remember this. In 1986, I believe it was, I preached at your dad's church. And I got up that Sunday morning after about half of your church got little pink slips that said, "We're closing the plant." And I said, "Down here in Flint, y'all have learned that God is spelled G-O-D, not G-M." And I remember I said, "If anybody doesn't agree with that, I'll be out of church after service is over. We can take care of it in the parking lot." Well, I got to stand around talking in the church after it was all over. I went out to my car and there was a paper under my windshield. Probably Grant put it there. I don't know who put it there, but there was a paper under my windshield blade and it said, "I was here, where were you?" But the truth of it is that there's been some reversals in America. And if you try to get a job in the state of Michigan right now, you're going to find it very difficult to get a job. I mean, any kind of a job, much less a job. You're going to find that. And then what's going to happen in America is we're going to think we have to depend upon somebody somewhere to solve this problem. When there's somebody who could solve the problem, we just won't turn to him. See, we depended on the car companies. We depended on this. We depended on that. Because that's where our money came from. But we forgot who it was that gave us the job. We forgot who it was that made this state prosperous. We blame it on the Japanese and the Mexicans and the Chinese and whoever you want to. That's not it. We have lost our dependency on the person who can take care of the problem. David knew who it was. I'm not going to turn there, but do you remember these words? They go something like this. My God, why hast thou... Who was it that said those words? Who was it that said those words? Oh, you can do better than that. Who was it that said that? Do you know what he promised you? He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Do you realize that he said he would never leave you nor forsake you, but his own son is hanging on the cross, and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook his own son because of your sin, but he said he would never forsake you. And when David walked out on that battlefield that day, you know what he knew? He knew God would never turn his back on him. And Christian, I want to tell you something. He'll never turn his back on you. And if I get in a mess or you get in a mess, it's not God's fault. Back here at verse 47. 1 Samuel 17, 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into your hands. You know what he said? He said, Giant, I want to tell you something. When this is all over, everybody's going to know who's in charge. Amen. He said, I want to tell you something, Goliath. You got a big mouth and you boast big things and you got a big spear and you got a big mouth and you got big feet and you got a big head and you got a lot of big things, but my God is bigger than you. When this thing is over, they're going to know the battle is the Lord's. You understand that? Now, are you ready or not? I realize I may evangelize just a little bit on that there, but I'm going to tell you something. Right now, we've got a great God, and I'm glad for some people once in a while that know we've got a great God, and they're willing to let that God do something to show the rest of us the battle in ours, it's the Lord's. Quit fighting this thing on your own. Quit pretending like you know how to solve the problem. Can I tell you something? You don't even know what the problem is. David stood out there, and the Bible says that, and you got to remember now, I told you, man, he has on 150 pounds of armor-piercing stuff. Amen? You're not going to get a sword through that. You're not going to get a spear through that. You're not going to get close enough to a 10-foot man to get it through there anyways. And he thinks this. He thinks, ain't no man over in that army can beat me. Much less a little boy who's nothing more than a dog to me. I don't know how the thing went, but would you allow me a liberty to show you how it went? Because I've got this spiritual revelation. No, don't be careful now. I'll tell my Uncle Joel on you. I can see David now. He sizes the situation up. I don't know how far away from him was. I don't know how far he could sling that thing. But I know the Benjamites had a group of people, left-handed or right-handed, could sling a stone and be within a hair's breadth of their mark. I can't do that with a .308 and a scope. My son called the other day and says he got expert in shooting. I said, well, son, that ain't no problem when you're only 15 feet from the target. Don't tell a Marine that. That really aggravates him. But I can see it now. Here's David standing up and he's looking at that guy and he's sizing the situation. He goes, okay, the wind's out of the... Come on, just be, go here. Okay, wind's blowing west. Let's see. And I got to sling that thing a little bit that way. And the Lord's sitting up in heaven going like this. I don't care if the wind is 50 miles an hour. That rock's going where I'm going to put it. You understand that thing? And David put that little thing in there. And I think maybe in the back of his mind, because he had five stones, he knew he had four brothers. And maybe in the back of his mind, he was just kind of you know, peripheral vision, seeing if there might be giants sneaking up on the side here. Because, you know, he didn't really have, it was just a single shot sling. Because he'd have to reload. And so as he's getting ready to make that thing and winding that thing up, you can see Goliath. Now, let me stop a minute. Let's see. He had on greaves, if I remember reading that right? And he had on this body armor, right? And he had this big spear, and he had this guy carrying his shield, his armor there, whatever it was. There was one piece of equipment he forgot to put on. He forgot to put his helmet on. Now, when you're 10 foot tall and you're looking at 5 foot 3 and he's off, oh, maybe 50 yards, what do you think a guy with a sling is going to do to you? You just got to forget, David wasn't depending on the sling and he wasn't depending on the stone. He had his confidence in God. And I can see it now as he was winding that thing up and doing the best he can. And you ought to do the best you can. I mean, you know, okay, let's see, the last time I shot a turkey, and you know, DNR caught me, but the last time I... shot a turkey. I had to be, you know, and he wound that sling up and boom, let that thing go. And Goliath is going, ha, ha. And I think the Lord said, let's get a little bit more trajectory here. All right, now drop down there. It's going to give you a smart stone. Amen. Well, if God directed us a smart stone, amen. We got smart bombs. Surely God can have smart stones. Yeah, it got smarted too, yeah. And that stone went slinging up through that air there and hit that boy right there. Now, anybody who knows anything about the human body knows the fastest way to kill a man is right there. And you drive that bone into his brain. He is DOA. And he slung that stone out of there, and that thing went flying up there and hit that boy right to where he didn't have any armor. And as he fell to the ground dead, can't you hear it now, of all the brave men in Saul's army taking credit? Yeah. Can't you see them, those brothers of David? Yeah, that's our brother. I taught him how to hunt. Yay! Human nature is human nature, and you know there was something going. The Lord didn't take time. The Bible says if he wrote everything down, just that he did it, take all the world to hold the book. So you know he didn't write everything down. But you know that those boys are sitting back there going, after they just told David, oh, I suppose you left the sheep with somebody. What are you doing out here? They're all going, yeah, that's our brother. And David got up and went out there and took the head off of Goliath with his own sword. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that some of the bravest people in the world, they weren't some of the biggest people in the world. They weren't the smartest people in the world. I'm not saying that to David. They weren't the richest people in the world. They didn't have everything. But what they had was they had a God bigger than the situation. They had a God greater than what was going on in their life. And I'm going to tell you something today. You've got a God greater than yours. You've got a God greater than your situation. Whatever it is you're going through today, whatever it is you're faced with, can I tell you there's a God bigger than the situation? And what we have to do is stand back and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. But I remember back here 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever it was, and we were facing a situation. I remember you, certainly if you took care of that, you can take care of this. Every Christian in this room ought to have an arsenal of experiences. My wife and I often discuss some of those things once in a while when we get to see each other. We often discuss those things once in a while. You remember back when we was in Okinawa? You remember back when we were, you know, first got in the Air Force and we was living on $300 and some a month in triple E condemned apartment, you know, and all that kind of thing. We look back at all things, but you know what we saw? We saw God fill our gas tank. We saw God bring groceries into our house. We saw God do things. He had to do it. And I'm going to be honest with you here. We weren't really dependent on Him. And I don't mean that unkindly of myself or my wife. I want you to understand, as young people, we weren't thinking like that. And neither were some of you, as spiritual as you are today. And yet, in all of that, God said, I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to tell you something, some of the hardest things I've had to face have been overcome as I look back and realize I had a God then just like I got now, and He brought me through that. He's going to certainly bring me through this. And I think some of the bravest people in the world are not the people who can kick karate and all that kind of stuff. I think some of the bravest people in the world couldn't hardly lift a pencil off a piece of paper, but boy, they've got a God. And let me say this. A true soldier never trusts himself. He trusts the one who wins the battle. A true soldier knows who really does the fighting. I told you a story, and let me just reiterate here, and I'm going to close here, but Jimmy Howard. You know what Jimmy Howard did? I've read the thing 2 or 3 times. I love the story. But when he got up there and the president said, here's the medals, Jimmy turned and said, Those medals belong to these men. But even more than that, he said there, I think there was three or four men in his platoon, whatever it was, called it there, that didn't make it. He said, those are the brave men. The fellow, one of the five men who raised the flag at Iwo Jima, one of the kids told the story, they said, Dad was always fishing because the reporters were always outside of his door wanting to know something. And he said, Dad always said, just tell him I'm fishing. They said, I don't think Dad ever went fishing, but he was always fishing. But they said that when he would be asked to speak and he would speak, and they would say, you're a brave man, you're a hero. He said, no, 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 no. The heroes are buried on Iwo Jima. Don't think of yourself as a hero. Don't look at yourself as a brave person. Unless your God's bigger than your situation, you're not brave at all. Because you won't face anything in life. You won't do anything in life. There are Christians living today, you've never trusted God for anything. You've never done anything. You've always trusted your paycheck and your job and your insurance company and something else. What are you trusting? Father.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.